independent voice for Houston sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
Swing and a miss. James strikes out DJ Peters to end this one. Astros win 7-2. Kyle Tucker, a big night, three hits and a home run. And Blummer one step closer to a fourth AL West title in the last 5 years.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome in, everybody, on this Thursday morning. Glad you could join us. I like that. That does not get old. That does not get old. Ever.
I don't know who he was talking about.
Coach Cully never gets old.
I mean, would you expect anything less from, like, the nicest guy in Houston sports?
He is the nicest guy. And
I don't like being around him. He'll say that at some point.
I know. We will hear from him in a little bit on the show. He had some thoughts yesterday on stuff that needs to get better against the Cleveland Browns. We'll also have Pat Forty with us here at 8:30, Dana Holgorsen at 8:45, and Stevie D and Eric Sandler to tell you what's going on this weekend. It's already Thursday here on the show as we head toward another football weekend. We got a game tonight with the football team versus the Giants, so that's going to be good. We've also got baseball as the Astros take game three of the series, and you lose that game last night, and now you're staring at losing the series against these guys. And instead, now you built yourself a 7-game lead over the Athletics. You've got a 7.5 game lead over the Mariners, and virtually, basically, you've got a 3-game lead on the White Sox for home field advantage in the postseason. Now you will ask Pawpaw about the postseason, and he doesn't care about that. We're in the regular season right now, says Pawpaw.
Well, I mean, this is what you got to do, and this is what good teams do. You make the most of the opportunity. I try not to have them out too many days so they can keep whatever sharpness that they, you know, that they have. Nobody's really thinking or about, you know, really jockeying for postseason spots on the roster. They're just trying to get to the finish line before anybody else in our division. And, they root for each other. They cheer for each other. They spend time talking, you know, about the game, and you can tell that you know, these guys are, you know, they pull for each other. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it was really neat seeing Jake Myers and Kyle Tucker at the plate after Myers homered last night. I mean, you do 17 was special because you really knew that those guys really liked each other. You know, there was stuff going on behind the scenes, obviously, but that was one of the best teams I think that we've ever seen here in the city, if not the best team that we've ever seen in the city of Houston, including those Rockets teams that won championships.
Well, yesterday's the first time that I think we've seen Tucker, McCormick, and Rake Myers in the lineup together.
Yeah.
Because it's usually not going to be McCormick, because with Brantley on the bench, they had a chance to have those three together. Two of them had home runs.
Kyle Tucker is on fire.
Yeah, Tucker's just killing a ball right now.
He is on fire.
They had three home runs. Marwin had a homer. The Astros had three home runs. You know, we know Urquidy had a good outing. But seeing the back end, when you look at when McCormick and, because McCormick has, you know, he can be feast or famine, but he definitely has the ability to pound the baseball. When you look at that lineup just like yesterday, it was 1-8 is dangerous. And then you got Maldonado's not a total slappy either now.
Well,
Maldonado has his moments where he can get hot, he has some home run power. He's not Brad Ausmus, let me put it that way.
Well, I don't know. His OPS is 560.
Is it 560
yeah,
now?
So that's really
that's
he's hitting 170 with a 560. He's very actually
that's
Brad
Ausmus.
Brad Ausmus.
But he's got 10 home runs. Did Brad have 10 career home runs?
No, to career, no. No, no, no. And he comes up with some big hits late but he certainly is not good offensively. No, there's the one hole in the lineup.
Oh, my goodness. He's down to 170.
170, yeah.
I do anticipate an out when he's up to the plate. I mean, I'm not going to lie on that. But Let me see what his splits. How bad?
It's bad.
Ooh, whoa. Last 15 days, hitting 121.
Yeah, it's bad.
In September, he's hitting 114. In August, 153. Well, that's why. He's really taking a tumble.
He's really tired.
Well, too. His best month was June when he was hitting 217.
Yeah.
With a slugging percentage of 687. You know, the slugging percentage right now, John, in September, would you like to take a little shot at it?
Mm-hmm. In September, his slugging percentage? Is mm-hmm. it?
I'm sorry. His OP. Well, his slugging and OPS.
His slugging in September is going to be 210.
Ooh. You're only half. You're only 100% too high.
What is it?
It's almost. It's 111.
What is it really? His slugging?
Oh, no. It's 114. It's 114.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
it's 114. His OPS is 276 for September. That might be the lowest OPS I've ever heard of.
Yeah, you said he wasn't Brad Ausmus?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because he doesn't hit as well.
Well, right, only because he's not as good at the plate. But who was good last night and really needed it with all of the bullpen stuff that they had to go through the last two nights. What with Odorizzi going out and then Greinke not looking good and getting pulled. They really needed Urquidy, and they needed an outing like this. And Urquidy needed an outing like this for postseason thoughts. And here's Dusty. Here's Paw talking about Urquidy.
I was impressed the fact that he went six innings. This is what we needed, to get our bullpen, kind of straight. And then, we used Stanek for one, and then Graveman, who hadn't pitched it, or Stanek in a couple days. And then we turned over Josh James, who just got off the plane, right before game time. So, he was sharp also. Well,
it took 11 pitches. He did give up the run, but oh well, that's fine. Listen, Josh James is
alive.
Yeah. They needed him. They brought him up.
When's the last time you saw Josh James?
It's been a while.
It's been 2019.
And rightfully so.
No, right. No. It's been 2019. He didn't pitch last year.
Very efficient, everybody was. It is a minor league lineup that they're facing, but when you throw six innings and 81 pitches, 54 of them strikes, that's a nice outing by Urquidy. This is a team that put up, what, 8 or 9 against you yesterday, the day before? Stanek came in just 11 pitches, Graveman 10 pitches, and James just 11 pitches, although he did give up the run. So that's nice, the whole thing. It's the Rangers. You're just trying to get through these times. You get to the end of the season where you've got the A's, and you hope that it's already over. The Astros have, by the time they get to the A's with 9 games left, they've got a chance to already be, have clinched the division, a very good chance to clinch the division. But you still got the White Sox to worry about. The White Sox are still going to be on your tails. You do have a 3-game lead over them. Basically, you got a 2-game lead, but you've got the tiebreaker. So it's basically a 3-game lead that you got over the White Sox right now. So that's all good stuff. It was good to see them bounce back after the poor performance the night before. And listen, finish this off today. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. If Garcia doesn't, if Urquidy continues, if he looks like this, now you got some big games that are coming up against the A's and the Rays to finish up the season. I think that's where you'll find your postseason rotation.
Yeah. Well, that was a huge start to me, even though it was just the Rangers. I get that. I get it's a minor league lineup. It's a minor league lineup that whipped your ass the night before. But so it was good. It was good to see Urquidy do that because Urquidy may have enough run-up time to be not quite ready. I mean, it's not enough starts, but Urquidy's going to be able to get in 4 total starts before the playoff hits. I mean, he's got 3 so far. He's got time for another start, I think just one more start. And so Urquidy does have a chance to show them 4 starts. And listen, he went 6 innings. That's what you, as a starter right now for the Astros, that's what they want you to do.
Well, unfortunately, you're not in the postseason, you're not facing the Rangers lineup.
No. But to see him go 6, to see him, like he went through, it was like a simulated game.
Yeah, right.
Playing the Rangers is like, hey, did you guys see what happened with Urquidy in the simulated game?
He took it.
6 innings.
He struck out 6, walked 1. It was nice.
So it looks like his arm's getting healthy, and soon he'll be called up to the big team.
You know, he let him throw 81 pitches, which was nice. Now, we talked about it yesterday, is what's your rotation in the postseason? The wheelhouse, the boys on the wheelhouse had Ben Verlander, Justin's brother, Ben Verlander, works for he works for MLB.com or
Fox Sports.
He works for Fox Sports.
Yeah.
He works for Fox Sports, and he's an analyst, a baseball analyst. And they asked him about, you know, the postseason rotation. And here's what he said about game one.
To me, it just feels like this is Lance McCullers' team. You know, he's through and through. He's been there. He's always been in the organization. He just embodies what the city of Houston is all about. And it looks like it's going to be the case. I feel like if you play your first game at home, you got to give it to him. If it were going to be a road game first, you know, it's a little bit more of a toss-up. Maybe you go Granky. But it's going to be a home game, and you got to give the ball to McCullers, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think that road and his road woes are behind him, I hope. I got to look at his splits, but Lance McCullers has been much better. He has not been great on the road previously in his career, but he has been much better on the road this season. Lance McCullers, overall, has been your best pitcher.
Yeah.
He deserves this. He deserves the ball.
You know what's funny is, if you really think about it, though, you've had different pitchers at different times you thought might be the best pitcher. Only a couple times was it Lance McCullers, but he's been that steady influence. He's been that steady performer throughout the year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what he is. Like, even when, oh, boy, look how hot, you know, Fromber started off good. Then Fromber got cold, and Fromber got better later on. Luis Garcia had a great start. Oh, Luis Garcia. Oh, Zach Greinke starting to get it going. The entire time, Lance McCullers has just been minding his own business, doing his thing.
Well, if you want to know the truth, you'd be better off if they were on the road. Lance McCullers this year has got a 2-5-3 with a 7-1 record. At home, he's got a 3-5-9 with a 5-3 record. You actually might want to save Lance McCullers for Game 3 because he has been lights out. You know, over that has not been the case with Lance McCullers. So to see him doing that this year is awfully nice. Last year, he had a 7.33 earned run average on the road.
Yeah, but I think we've kind of determined that he's, from a mental standpoint, he's got a little bit more, I don't know if mental toughness is the word, or he's just got a little bit more poise. When things get a little rough for him, we've seen him get out of tough situations. We've seen him get out of bases loaded jams where he hurt, you know, was in a bad situation early in the games. In the past, one inning would sink him. It's not really sinking him anymore.
No. But I mean, literally, coming into this season, he was much worse on the road. You would not even think about starting him on the road. This year, you might think about sitting him until Game 3 when you are on the road in Chicago, because he's been your best road pitcher, and it's not even close. That's how he's turning this thing around. So if you can get a win or two at home and save him for Game 3 in Chicago, that might be a way to go about it too. Although, you know what, he deserves to be handed the baseball in Game 1 the way he's pitched this year overall. All right, taking a break. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I feel like today kind of needs to be an Astros day. We haven't. I know it's the Rangers, but we're not that far off.
No. We're getting close
from the big games. This is what we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it's the one guy I think you want to see. If there's one guy you want to see get it back together, it's Brantley. You want to see Uncle Mike, the professional hitter, get it back going. But once that happens, I think your Death Star is ready to roll. You got everyone kind of on board except for Fromber. All of a sudden, you know, Fromber's like, wait a minute, well, how do I throw strikes again? Oh, Fromber, you were just throwing strikes.
I thought you were going to say something bad. Say something good about Craig DeCerf.
I can say lots of good things about Craig DeCerf. The best thing I can tell you right now is that Craig DeCerf has a sweet car show that's getting ready to go on. And they do this every single year. If you're a car enthusiast, this is always a huge spot on the calendar that you need to mark. Because car enthusiasts, and there's a lot of you out there. There's a lot of you. October 9th, put that on your Apple calendar or whatever you want to do. And make sure you get out to the 4th Annual Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC Car Show and Food Truck Expo. You're going to be blown away by all the classic cars and trucks that are going to be on display. They're absolutely incredible. They are every year, and people come away from the car show really, really pumped up. Kids love it. Plus, you're going to enjoy some great food selections from a ton of different food trucks that are going to be out there. You can also enter the silent auction for Carlos Correa signed memorabilia. So make sure you get your hands on some Carlos Correa signed memorabilia when you, you know, take part in this silent auction. It's all on Saturday, October 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. For more information, go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Tall task for our Texans this week as they take on the Browns. Pro Football Focus said that the Browns' offensive line did the best job of any offensive line last week. I mean, I watched that whole game. Chris Jones is such a beast. You know he's going to make plays. He is a load, that dude. But, you know, the Kansas City defensive front isn't all that great. Kansas City is going to give up some points this year. Mm-hmm. And you look at Kansas City now as a team that will be an over team, more than likely. but here's the deal about that offensive line, Lance. Treader didn't practice yesterday. Wills didn't practice yesterday. Conklin didn't practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. They got a couple of knee problems over there that are real issues. If, in fact, these guys are banged up, you know, maybe this offensive line is considered one of, if not the best offense with Petonio.
They went from bad to really good. Very, very quickly.
So did the Chiefs' offensive line. That went, they made acquisitions that and got, you know, guys back. But this offensive line is considered one of, if not the best offensive line in football. And if they're banged up, big advantage Texans.
Yeah. It's,
well, I don't know, big advantage.
Well, but it definitely helps the Texans' chances. I mean, it really slows down the pass pro for sure, especially if Jedrick Wills can't go, the starting left tackle. Conklin, I think, is going to go for sure. But we'll see. I mean, there's
two tackles.
He
didn't play last week.
Conklin?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought I read that. I think he's being held out. Well, we'll see. We're Thursday already.
Yeah.
We're Thursday now, so today is going to be the day that you really find out. They may also look at the Texans as a – they may look at it as why
– Well, isn't that why Odell's not playing?
It's a Texans.
Isn't that why Odell's not playing?
Why take a chance? Well, he didn't play the first day. I mean, he didn't play the first
game. Yeah, no. But they say, he's limited – he's practiced.
This might be that they might circle this as the game.
Oh, Conklin did play last week. Conklin did get out there, I thought they sat him. They didn't, but he's banged up right now. So you got three guys on that offensive line, and that is definitely something that is, you know, that's one of their strengths.
It's something to
Wills
keep an eye
on. Wills has got the ankle, Treader and Conklin both with knees.
Well, and you got Chris Hubbard, who is a swing tackle.
He didn't
over
practice
there.
Either.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So you got your top three tackles right now. They're being careful with. We'll see what happens today because. The injury report that comes out Friday morning is going to be pretty substantial. If you have Jedrick Wills doubtful, then that means he's going to be out.
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes. They may look at the Texans as a rest game, as a game like we can win this without taking a chance of making Jedrick Wills.
Go ahead. Think like
he's
that.
The one guy that I would say you could keep an eye on as maybe being potentially out for this weekend, the starting left tackle. He's
go,
the guy that I
go
love
ahead and give
the
me
draft.
And give me that 12.5 points. Go ahead.
But what they do, though, is Joel Bitonio, Treader, and I think Treader will go. Wyatt Teller, they've really developed. I mean, that offensive line. And then Conklin. By adding Conklin, this is how quick you can fix an offensive line. They went from bad. Then Joel Bitonio was always good. Treader, they added Treader from Green Bay. They drafted Jedrick Wills in the first round. They picked up Jack Conklin as a free agent. And then Wyatt Teller developed as a what draft pick? He was drafted by the Buffalo Bills and traded. He was traded from Buffalo to Cleveland. That's how quickly, it was a fifth round pick. That's how quickly you can fix it.
Well, look at the Chiefs just this offseason.
Yeah.
Orlando Brown and Joe Thuney. I mean, and all of a sudden you're, oh, wow, that was a huge weakness for him in the Super Bowl.
Well, the Colts offensive line got Andrew Luck literally killed and eventually chased him out of football. They had a good player in Costanzo, but then they drafted Quentin Nelson. They drafted Ryan Kelly. Mark Glowinski came off the waiver wire, and he's become a good player at right guard and at tackle. I'm trying to remember who they had at right tackle. Oh, and they drafted Braden Smith, who was a guard at Auburn. It can happen quickly, and I thought that might happen with the Texans. You drafted Max Sharping. You drafted Titus Howard. You had Nick Martin in place, and then you added Zach Fulton as a free agent. But Max Sharping hasn't fully developed. Titus Howard is still, you know, we're still waiting to see him play his best football. Zach Fulton was a bust coming in there, and Nick Martin's already gone. So that same game plan to rebuild your offensive line, you know, the Texans kind of followed the game plan. I don't think they did anything wrong. It's just it hasn't worked.
Yeah. Well,
not fully. Not like Cleveland or the Colts or –
That offensive line's got its hands full. When asked about what are the biggest challenges this week, the first name that pops up, you'll recognize him.
Junkie. Well, I mean, you know, they've got a defensive end there that you know that's a pretty good player in this league, and they also have Clowney, who are two good rushers. You know, Garrett and he. It's a defense that I think has got a bunch of new players this year. That they brought in, and I thought in this past game that we're watching the video of the Kansas City game, I thought they did a really nice job in that game of containing a very, very good offensive football team. And then offensively, they got a lot of weapons. You know, they got a very good quarterback. They've got probably the two best combo running backs in the game. They've got guys that they got skill all over the place and a very good offensive line. It's a big challenge. We kind of look at those guys as we talk about during the course of the year. You're going to play teams that are what you consider like playoff caliber teams, guys that have been there, guys that are expected to be there, teams that are, and we feel like we're playing one of those teams this week.
That's one of those teams this week, and a team that needs a win after losing, after you know, having what a game they played against Kansas City, only to come up short. So they got to have a win. I was just watching ESPN, says they've got a 39% chance now. After week one, they're down to a 39% chance to win the division. We've got 16 games left. I'm pretty sure there's 16 games left. It's hard. I don't know if you can put a number on that, but okay. All right. I guess that would be the betting number. That's what you get out of that, 2.5 to 1. I would imagine that's what you get for them winning the division right
now. Yeah, yeah. And it goes the way that they do that. ESPN figures it is. They look at their prediction, their modeling of what their odds are to win each game.
Yeah.
And all they do is go through and figure out what the win-loss total is for all the teams. It looks really complicated. Like, oh, how'd they come up with that? Their modeling just predicts what the score should be in every game. And then they just say, okay, this is what your record would be. But I noticed the Giants are 11% chance to win that division. And I thought, well, that feels right.
Yeah, that
feels right in a bad division. They're the worst team in the bad division. Yeah, that sounds accurate. Now, if they beat Washington tonight, we'll see what happens.
Well, then Washington. You used the R word yesterday.
Was there any blowback from Twitter or Laura Beavers or anything when you used the R word?
No, I didn't. I didn't use the R word that maybe people are thinking of right now. I used the R word. The team formerly known as the Washington
Snake
football team.
Pliskins.
Right. Formerly known as the, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah, the force.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
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 Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Now, that's
I was
the
asking
R-word.
If you had any blowback from that.
No, I have not had any blowback from that. I got a lot of blowback from my picture I sent out. Did you see I got a gift basket? Well, my wife got a gift basket from the Texans.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, it was on Twitter. It was interesting. You saw it, Aaron?
Oh, yeah. Laughed my ass off at the secondary tweet about it.
What happened?
Well, it's interesting. Channel 13 obviously has tickets, or they have a suite or something. I don't know. I've never sat in it. I don't know. But my wife got a gift basket, and I think all the pizzas, I'm not sure that they're sending them to me. I know they sent me a JJ jersey, and so they got a lot of love about that. But there's a gift basket, and it has a... amongst other things in there, it has a viewfinder. Do you remember those things that you look
into?
A little
red kid's toy?
Your little kids with the little pictures
of safaris and dinosaurs and stuff? Yeah.
The circular pictures in there, and then you click it.
Yeah.
And if you go to my
I'm going to look at it right now.
Yeah, if you go to my Twitter feed, you can see it. And it's an interesting, I don't know how many kids are buying season tickets this year, but I guess if you have kids, it's a viewfinder.
Did you put me, you, and Dell in our Texans Letterman jacket as your profile picture?
I think I did. Yeah.
Yes, you did. I got a Letterman's jacket, and I got that dumb Cowboys hat on.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's your whole avatar.
Right, yeah.
That's the word. You're supposed to get my permission for name, image, likeness. Or supposed to pay me for that.
Yeah.
Dusty!
So anyway, it was interesting, the reactions. Hey, is that a viewfinder that they sent you? Is your wife 5 years old? And I was like, oh, no. But, yeah, and so then I did it.
They'll
and
probably send me pizza, no big deal. What you said.
Yeah, on Saturday night.
Do probably, they think your wife is eight?
They think your wife
is probably filled with Jack Easterby pictures.
Yeah.
So you gave in renewed season tickets. Must be good pizza.
No, I didn't renew my season. That was my wife's.
Is there a rosary in there? Had to, I don't think Jack's Catholic. Had to be Cal's idea for the viewfinder. I mean.
Yeah. And then then I retweeted it and I said, well, what did I say?
Who are the Texans? Sellout. Somebody called you a sellout. Please wear the fanny pack on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, there is a clear fanny pack too, by the way. So there is that. Then and then I tweeted it out. I gotta find it. then I tweeted out is yes, I did. That is a viewfinder, to be clear. That is a viewfinder. And yes, I put the pictures in and looked at them. Did I love it? Yes, I did. And I'm sure Cal loved it too. So this had to be a Cal idea, sending out a viewfinder, right?
I mean
or let's really please the boss.
You know, it'd be great. Well, what, buddy?
You don't call Cal. They don't call Cal buddy.
You don't know for a fact they don't.
There was a little bit of...
What do you think, buddy? What would be good? One of those picture things, the red things.
Remember when you were a kid? Down? You had a viewfinder? Remember when last week?
And we could put pictures of Whitney Merciless.
When you were a kid, Cal, you still have one on your desk.
Yeah.
Right next to the Xbox controller.
What if everybody had one?
I made this argument when we were in that limbo of we didn't know what was going to happen with the lineup. The Houston sports franchises can just pay me to take a job as to be the, is that really a good idea, guy?
Because
they need
be a
to
job.
Run things. Yeah. I'm always, yeah. What's
that
the worst that can happen? They always need to
just
run,
like
hey, this is our marketing campaign,
guy.
And I can go, don't put a viewfinder in there because you know the Cal jokes are coming,
hey,
guys.
Yeah. No one cares what time that. You wake up. We know you wake up, buddy. Yeah. That's fine. You'd be just like the Progressive insurance guy who has to tell the people who are trying to be their parents after they buy a home. You're the same thing. You could do the same thing. That is a job.
I could
make
a
good living for all right. three franchises.
Hey,
luckily, the
Dusty.
Astros don't need it as much right now.
So
you could just look at Dusty like,
mm-mm.
Are you going to get – are you making the call to Josh Jones? Josh James?
Mm-hmm. Are you going to go get Brooks Raley again?
Are you pulling – yeah. Are you
Dusty,
pulling the
Dusty,
colors
Brooks
out
Raley's
after four
not,
innings?
He's I, not – he's busy. I gave him some Laffy Taffy. His hands are all sticky. He can't pitch. You know what? Brooks Raley is out. Let's go to somebody else.
No. Yeah, and then I my daughter said, if you don't send pics, then it's not real. Well, I sent a pic of me with the viewfinder, and Chance said, you're going to pull so much wool with that. I don't know that viewfinders are really...
Wool pulling?
Wool pulling.
Who said that?
Chance. Because he's a bad person.
Will you or will you not wear the fanny pack to our occasional invitational?
Oh, we're definitely
in December.
Driving to school right
you
now
You have
with kids.
To wear... To the occasional invitational, you
oh,
have
yeah.
to have the fanny
have
pack on, holding your tees
yeah.
and your ball, everything.
Yeah. Yeah, everything. All right, when we come back, more back to the Astros. The Astros are the important thing in our city right now. 713-780-3776. But I need to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVin.com. He doesn't like to talk about so much. He really doesn't like to talk so much about buying cars from you as he likes to talk about, I don't know, prostitutes and all kinds of different stuff that you're like, wow, this is a commercial? Yeah. A lot of times you just don't figure it out until, you know, you're about 4 minutes into it with talking to John Clay Wolf and you go, whoa, GiveMeTheVin.com. Is that what we're talking about here? Yep. It's selling your car to the man. John Clay Wolf is excellent at that. All right. He's excellent at talking on the radio, too. He does it every Saturday right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But here's the deal is if you're looking for a great way to sell your car, get the most for your car, John Clay Wolf says, I will get you the most. And if I can't beat CarMax's offer, which I do every time, if I can't beat it, I'll send you $100. Okay. So not only will you get a better price from CarMax, but you'll also get $100 from John Clay Wolf. And you know what? Never happens that. Okay, so if you are somebody that needs to sell his car, for whatever reason, his or her car, all you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, today I learned Dan has an unbelievable skill. It's not giving takes. It's not playing football.
Thanks so much. Thanks.
It is his ability to bark like a dog.
You want to hear it?
Yes, of course.
All right.
That's pretty accurate.
That's Dan Orlovsky. Mina Kimes sent that out on her Twitter feed or Instagram, which whatever. That was Mina Kimes narrating Dan Orlovsky barking like a dog. And I think she was pretty accurate. He does have a skill. It wasn't football. And
he goes, thanks.
It's not his takes.
It's not his takes. He's got a really skill. It's not his takes. It's not playing football. He goes, thanks. I mean,
he's got
trying to be accurate, Dan.
No, she was accurate.
He did make $3 million here for the Texans. 3-year, $9 million deal. I'll never forget that day.
Well, he's a backup.
That's when I realized, this backup quarterback thing's starting to become kind of lucrative. Starting to do pretty well with it. Speaking of sound bites, you know what? Why don't we play some sound here? I don't think we played this on the show yesterday. Who was it from Alabama who was asked about Nick Saban or if he has any famous sayings or any coaching terminology?
Yeah.
So apparently Marlon Humphrey, currently, obviously in the league, very good cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens, except for the fact that he got burned on that touchdown to win the game by Zay Jones.
Yeah.
He's still a very good cornerback. Marlon Humphrey taught this to Nick Saban, or he was doing this, and Nick Saban picked this up from Marlon Humphrey. So the player, and I can't recall who the player is who mentioned this at the press conference, he was asked about Nick Saban. Just let me know when you have that, Aaron, because he was asked about if Nick Saban has any, because I think everyone loves talking to players about Nick Saban. You love to get, what's it like being around Coach, especially those people from Alabama? When Coach Saban gets really fired up with y'all, is there something that he likes to do? Or have you ever seen...
Well, this isn't the first time we've heard this, though.
Punch a man in the throat? You've heard this
before? Oh, I've heard this before. Yeah, the guys have talked about this before.
Oh, they have?
Oh, yeah.
I had never heard about
this. You hadn't heard
this?
It's
Jordan Battle.
Yeah, Jordan Battle was asked at the podium...
This is the press conference for the week.
And Jordan Battle was asked what about the things that something that stands out about Nick during practice.
Yeah, I've asked a couple of the other older guys about this, but do you have a favorite saying that Saban has, one of his little coaching quips he has?
Not that I can think of right now because he has so many, but there are a few I like, and he always talking about touch D's or suck on D's or all that.
Charlie.
I think he meant encouraging ones like. It's so loud I can't hear you.
I don't know how to follow that one up, but just talk.
Did you hear somebody in the background?
What is that?
Like people went. I think sometime maybe touch D's and suck on D's. I'm sorry. You mean like D's nuts?
Yeah.
Nick Saban does D's nuts
jokes? Nick always does D's nuts jokes.
Nick Saban does D's nuts.
Yeah. He does D's nuts.
Hey, I need you guys to suck on D's. What?
Well, what about D's, coach? D's. Yeah, D's.
Hey, Tua. Hey, did you get your hand on D's? D's? D's nuts. All right.
Yeah.
Well, is that a joke, Coach? Was that meant as a joke? Absolutely.
See, this is from before.
So Nick's...
Yeah.
Nick Saban has been doing D's nuts for that long.
Yeah. See, apparently,
Marlon Humphrey
introduced him to D's nuts jokes, and Saban's been doing them ever since. This is,
That's maybe 3 years.
2019.
Oh.
Nick Saban tells D's nuts jokes at practice. So nobody is allowed to dislike him ever again.
Well, here's Joey Molinari, who does the best Nick Saban that I've ever heard. He's with Barstool now. He used to work in Indiana, and now he's a big Steeler fan, but he works for Barstool now. And he's got his video on Twitter. He's got the video where he's got his Alabama shirt on. He's got, now, of all the Nick Saban imitations I've heard, and I probably heard three that are pretty good, Joey's is easily the best that there is. And here's Joey Molinari doing Nick Saban addressing the team about these nuts.
Well, I guess my first question would be, why is everybody in a joking mood? We've only played two good quarters of football through two games. We come out last week at home against Mercer, and we go 3-and-out on our first drive, and then everybody comes in here and is a comedian this week laughing about Coach, these nuts, suck on these. The only thing that you're going to be sucking on is wind after I run your ass like crazy this week, all right? Now we go to Florida, and they're going to drop, you want to talk about nuts? They're going to drop their nuts right on your head if you don't get your head out of your ass and get ready to prepare this week, all right?
He's good. That does sound like, you know what? I could see Nick saying all of that to his team.
Oh yeah.
By the way, yeah, they're big favorites. They're big favorites against Florida. And I'm not sure, but now Florida can't really throw the ball all that well.
I think they're giving money away. I'll be honest with you. I talked to a couple scouts before the year who told me Florida was going to be terrible. They thought Florida is going to be bad. Florida hasn't really played anybody yet. This could end up being a freebie potentially. If what I heard about Florida is true, because they haven't really played.
You
got
to lay 14.5.
I know, on the road.
On the road, I don't know about that. Now they don't throw the ball really well. If you watched any of that game last week, they're just not really that proficient in that aspect. Although they can. The quarterbacks are very athletic. That's 14.5 against the Florida is kind of a big number, but you know what? You think they're giving away money on that.
Well, I'm just telling you that I had NFL scouts who know that area tell me before the year Florida is not going to be good. Mm. Florida does not have the team that they've had in the past. They have it real holes on defense. So I'm thinking if that's true and Florida's been able to beat up on some lesser teams early on, they may be getting more respect than they deserve here, even though if there's anyone that could take advantage of your weaknesses, it's Alabama. But you are on the road. You're having to lay more than two touchdowns. It seems like a lot, but I'm just going off of what I heard before the year started. I'm thinking, man, maybe a little first half play might be the play.
Well, you know who we'll have to ask later?
We'll have to ask Delvin, Delbert. Well,
Pat 40, too. Pat 40 today, and then we'll ask Delvin tomorrow.
Yeah. We got Delvin that's going to come in here and tell us about, hey, you know what, that'll be one of the games that we definitely have to look at. And, Pat 40 is going to be joining us here, too. Dana Holgerson is also going to be joining us a little bit later in the show. They got a nice win. They got the Grambling this week, so we will talk to him about that. And when we come back, this is an interesting point of view. Is it the worst thing in the world for the Texans to be mediocre? We'll talk about that on the other side. But first, you need to talk about TGS.
Text the word money to 232323, and what that does is that unlocks a very special opportunity for you. When you text the word money to 232323, the TGS Insurance gets started. Their automated system will ask you, what is your address? It'll say, what is your address? But through a text form, and then you put your address. And immediately starts boop, 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 doing the little algorithm in the background with all their A-rated insurance that they have accumulated and or aggregated, I should say. And then they'll have, within 15 seconds, a firm quote on a homeowner's insurance for you with an A-rated company. You don't want to ever not go with an A-rated company. You have to do that, especially here in the state of Texas where we have the inclement weather at times. The great thing is you can get that A-rated insurance without overpaying for it. And if you're not shopping your homeowner's insurance, I guarantee you they are crushing you. If you stay with your homeowner's insurance company, they're going to keep going up and up and up. Shop your insurance with TGS Insurance and find out how much you can save. On average, the savings is $900 annually. Text the word money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 7:46 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I mean, it's week one overreaction, obviously. But let me ask you a question, Lance. How horrible would it be if the Texans, let's say they're drafting eighth this year. Their top pick is the eighth pick or the ninth pick overall.
It's all right. I'm fine.
Yeah, you're still good football
players. Yeah, I mean, looking at last year's draft, last year had a pretty good draft with, like, wide receivers were deep. So, yeah, it's not bad. I'm fine with it.
Well, but are you going to get that? Well, Justin Fields was still around.
Justin Fields was still around. Mac Jones was still around. Pat Surtain was still around.
And that was a heavy quarterback draft.
Yeah, it was a good. It was a pretty good top end draft.
If it's not a heavy quarterback draft, well, if these guys don't come through.
I don't
think
it is going to be a heavy quarterback draft. And just in the quick, we knew Justin Fields. We already knew about Trevor Lawrence. We knew Justin Fields. Mac Jones, we didn't know was going to be a factor. But we knew those two guys were the two. Zach Wilson came out of nowhere. You usually have some quarterbacks come out of nowhere. This year, I don't feel like there is no Trevor Lawrence who's an easy consensus number one.
Well,
coming into this draft.
Consensus number one, but there's no guarantee that he's going to be the best quarterback in this draft.
No, but he was a consensus head in the draft. You knew he was number one. So what I'm saying is there's nobody that you gear towards because that was Tua the year before, and then it became Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
So, and then the best of them all may be Justin Herbert. Who was the third quarterback drafted. So, yeah, obviously it's no guarantee, but there is no Trevor Lawrence in this draft where everyone goes, oh, man, this is the dude here. This is the quarterback. You don't have that. He may emerge.
Maybe.
Not to the
– Joe Burrow
maybe
emerge.
Like a Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
But not like a Trevor Lawrence where Trevor Lawrence, you were saying that when he was a freshman.
Yeah.
Maybe a Joe Burrow type, Zach Wilson type will emerge. We'll see. But the problem with
being a decent, you know what? If Nick Caserio, it'll be a successful season if they win six games this year. I mean, they will have exceeded expectations greatly. No, I mean the number was what, 4.5? The number under over on wins. If they win six games, God forbid they win seven games, that's going to be everybody should feel really good about themselves. However, it puts you in mediocre limbo. Mm-hmm. Drafting 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th even this year will put you in a place where are you ever going to get good? Now, you're going to get draft picks for Deshaun Watson. So you'll have hopefully you'll have multiple first rounders for at least a couple of years and maybe 3 years you'll have multiple first rounders.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still get better. But I don't know that you can get top end talent that is going to be, you know, huge difference makers at important positions. Because let's face it, where is the young talent here? Honestly, who are your players? Jonathan Greenard's coming back this week. That's great. How good is Jonathan Greenard?
How good is
Ross Blacklock?
I'm going to show you, give you an example.
Where Titus Howard? Are we sure? Because Coach Cully this week said Titus got to play better. Titus did not play well.
No, he did not play well. I was watching some of that game yesterday, just going deep in on some of the coaches' angles. He did not play well. I'm concerned about him. I really am. I think he's too heavy right now to play the position. I don't think he's to play tackle. I don't think he's a natural guard. Guard was his worst position. When they tried to play him at guard a couple years ago, it was a bad fit. He's not a drive blocker. He's a right tackle. So this has been a huge concern to me. Titus Howard played his best when they got him out of the guard spot his rookie year and put him at tackle. He was much better. I don't know if they're going to do that right now with Marcus Cannon right now playing right tackle. I'm going to tell you why I think you might be wrong. I'm just going to go pick 7 through 10. Last year, Penei Sewell, J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith, and then Justin Fields is 11. In 2020, it looked like this. Derek Brown, Isaiah Simmons, C.J. Henderson, Jedrick Wills, Mekhi Becton. In 2019, Josh Allen, T.J. Hawkinson, Ed Oliver, Devin Bush, Jonah Williams. That would be a weaker mid-round, or, you know, where you're talking about. 2018, Josh Allen from Wyoming. The other Josh Allen was the pass rusher. Josh Allen from Wyoming, Roquan Smith, Mike McGlinchey, Josh Rosen, Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know, some hit or miss there. Certainly not a quarterback. There was a big hit and a big miss. Mike Williams, Christian McCaffrey, John Ross, Patrick Mahomes, Marshawn Lattimore.
Pretty good.
I mean, that's all 7 through 11. There's always good talent 7 through 11. It's, Do you hit on it or not?
Yeah, right.
That's why I don't get over. I don't get fussy when people like the Jets privately would probably admit that they wish they would have lost last year and had Trevor Lawrence before the draft. Now I don't know.
Yeah.
Now maybe it's different.
I don't know.
But before the draft, they would have privately told you. It would have been great to lose.
Well, and
to lose that game and still be number one.
Listen, the Texans' best picks ever came out of the 11th and 12th spots.
Yeah. So I don't get too worried. Now basketball can be devastating, but I don't get too worried about the Texans if they're not the worst team. And
before everybody, the number three overall pick was Andre Johnson. So that was one of your best picks.
Yeah, but JJ was 11,
and Deshaun was 12.
And Deshaun was 12. Yeah, JJ 11, Deshaun 12.
So but here's, I mean, I don't know this, but I'm going to bet. If you had to bet right now, who has the fewest first-round picks that start for their team?
Well, it's got to be, you can use other people's first-round picks.
No, that you drafted.
Oh, it's got to be the Texans.
One.
Yeah, because you have, let me, hold on.
One.
Titus. Yeah.
That's it.
Holy. Well, you don't count two for Laramie Tunsil? There's two
draft picks. No, you didn't draft him. I don't know if you heard.
You two draft picks you spent on him.
Well, yes.
It's kind of like two players play for you at left tackle. You know what I love is that I was told that he would fix all the pass rush stuff and he would help you go for it, and you guys were right.
After Deshaun got killed, you had to protect his backside, dude. You had to.
Yeah, not giving away all those draft picks.
No, but nobody said you had. But I'm only going to be hypocritical. Priority one was making sure Deshaun didn't get killed. And, you know, Bill O'Brien went up routed poorly, but he went out and got one of the best left tackles in football. So now, was it the way they did it? Was it smart? No. Would not signing him before you traded for him? Was that smart?
Has he had some incredible impact on the offensive line?
No.
Because one tackle doesn't. Yeah,
But here's the deal, though. In a position that they put very little into before that, you got to give him credit for at least going, okay, we see a problem. Okay, Titus Howard, Max Sharping. We're going out to sign.
No, I give him
Fulton.
Credit.
We're going out trading for. You know what? I give him credit for at least putting something into it.
I think that Bill O'Brien and to a little lesser extent, but it was the same draft where they drafted two offensive linemen, Brian Gain. Those two guys, they did the right thing. I mean, I don't think the biggest problem I have with the Texans is after they moved Dwayne Brown, which I was okay with. The circumstances were such that Dwayne put his own poison pill out there where you couldn't keep him. The problem I had is that you thought Julian Davenport was good enough to just like, that was the only thing you did. And that to me was insane. You had to have addressed a tackle at some point in one of the first two rounds, and they never did that. And that was my biggest problem is that they never maneuvered around to get that tackle, and then they became desperate. And what happens is once you get desperate, you do stupid stuff like the Tunsil deal where you give two first-round picks for one offensive tackle, and then you have to pay him a ton of money, and then it turns out the guy doesn't even want to practice, and you have to make deals with him in practice to get him to practice.
He didn't come to training camp.
And Bill O'Brien negotiated his contract, and he tricked Bill by just having his friend answer the phone and say, Laramie's mad at you because you won't get my money. And they'd hang up, and Bill's like, what's the problem? What's the problem? Well, the problem is you have no leverage, Bill. You've already traded all the picks. Laramie thought you were such a clown as a negotiator. He knew it was going to be so easy that he fired his agent in the middle of negotiations because he knew he was just giving money away for free. That's the greatest indictment on your lack of ability as a general manager, that a player in the midst of a high-dollar negotiation fired his agent because he didn't want to give away a commission because he knew he could do this himself. That's insane.
No.
He got the highest deal by himself. He didn't need an agent to get the most money ever for an offensive lineman.
By 20% more than.
He got it by himself.
So what?
And the agent couldn't have been mad. The agent had to be like, yeah, man.
So what you're trying. Wait point. A minute. What's your premise here? That Bill O'Brien was stupid? Okay. All right. Okay. That's the next USC head coach. Just live with it, okay? You guys got to live with it.
Somebody just texted us. You didn't read this, did you?
I saw that.
That Deshaun doesn't want his backside protected?
That's ugly.
Did you? did you?
That's ugly.
Did you say you wanted his backside protected?
No, I didn't. Yeah, he said, yeah, you had to protect Deshaun's backside.
Oh, man.
And, yes, Deshaun does want it protected on the football field. I should have been. Okay, that's what I meant.
Well, tell the whole story next time.
And then, we like everything you have to say, on the football field.
Right.
Right. Not in the bedroom. On the football field. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, can we get back to the Astros? I'm trying. It's all I'm doing. I'm trying to get back and talk about Astros baseball. Because we have one good team here. And there's another great team here in the city of Houston. And it's the Chastain Ford team. That's right.
You don't have to.
No, that's not it. No. No, they're not prostitutes over there. Okay.
I was just singing a song.
Roxanne was I don't know that they want to be associated with Roxanne over there. But here's the deal is if you want to be associated with who I think are best people and the best car dealership, you want to get that Ford car or truck right now, and you want to get it at a price that you know that they've worked their hardest to get it to you to, and you want to get it at exactly how customized, exactly how you want your vehicle. If you want to get it with service that is second to none. If you want to get it with no additional add-ons, because they just don't do that. If you want to get it doing it all online, you can do that, or you can't do that at other dealerships because they just won't let you, because you got to get into their dealership so that they can add that bed liner, they can add that sunroof, whatever it is that they, all those add-ons that the other guys put on there. And one of the first things Patrick told me, he said, we don't do that. We are not going to do that. We've never done that, and we're not doing that ever. So you tell your people that get on over there to Chastain Ford and get the vehicle exactly as you want it at the price that you need it at. It's all the Chastain Ford at ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's Chastain Ford.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.